Welcome to the Seth Gruber Show, everyone. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. This is the first episode of the newly branded and launched Seth Gruber Show. Yes, it's named after me. It's like, you prideful hack. You just want to show in your name. Everyone does it. Yeah, whatever, because God's expanded our territory, given me more opportunities than I could have ever manufactured myself. And we're really broadening the net, if you will, of topics that we cover because of how interconnected the culture of death is. And we're going to get in today about exactly how that culture of death operates with the targeting of pro-life sidewalk counselors who peacefully engaged in civil disobedience. And now they're facing up to a decade in prison. Man, if only they had just taken their clothes off and jiggled their appendages in front of children at a park while putting up a rainbow flag. It would have been great. It would have gone over wonderful if they had just screamed George Floyd while burning down a police station. They would only have to pay bail and not face any time in prison. I'm giving you an example of how interconnected the culture of death is. It's not as if we can talk about the killing of babies in an isolated little box. It was just that we were going to take out our child killing box and we're going to put it on the desk here and we're going to say, that's really bad. And then we're going to put that back on the shelf. Then we're going to take out a little box of sexualizing and diddling the kids. And then we're going to deal with bits and pieces of how that happened and then put it back on the shelf. And we're going to take out our critical race theory box and we're going to talk about the Frankfurt School. And that's not how the culture of death works, friends. I hope you understand me. And I've been criticized by some pro-lifers and Christians. Well-meaning, I think, often, who say, well, Seth, you need to stay in your lane. You need to stay in your lane. We need to save these babies. You know, we need to end abortion. I had a pregnancy resource gala I did in upstate New York, and the director sent me a very disappointed email about how broadly my speech was in its content, meaning I didn't just talk about abortion. I brought up Fauci and some of the shenanigans he was up to. I brought up transgenderism and the religion of Gnosticism and Gnostic dualism that actually animates the entire culture of death. And she was really upset. She said she was really disappointed in me and that it was more appropriate for like a Fox News hit segment and not a gala for a pregnancy center. But then I found out weeks later from the president of the board that it was their most profitable banquet in the history of the clinic. So what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say we often want to deal with ideologies and culture in bits and pieces rather than seeing how it all goes together. So apparently the constituents of this center at this gala loved my speech and gave generously. Or maybe they hated it and it challenged them and they didn't really like how I made them feel, but they still wrote a big fat check. Because I'm explaining how integrated and coordinated and interconnected the ideologies are that have created, architected, and birthed this culture of death. Yes, I'm a pro-life speaker. Yes, the White Rose Resistance is a pro-life ministry. Yes, our primary focus and goal is to end child sacrifice in America. It's to stop the killing of babies. It's to defend the innocent. It's a federal ban on abortion. It's a constitutional amendment to make abortion illegal at the federal level. Yes, that's the goal. It's to wake up the church to end abortion. But you can't carve out that lane and say, just deal with baby killing, because that's not how worldviews and ideologies worked. Have you noticed how interconnected the other side is? Have you noticed this about the quote-unquote culture wars? That this is why we're expanding, broadening the reach of my podcast. It's why we're launching this new show from Unaborted with Seth Gruber, which is explicitly pro-life, amen, to the Seth Gruber Show, because I feel and believe that God has given me a voice, a platform, and insights into how this culture operates to wake up the church in America to understand the kind of ideologies that created this culture of death and actually how false religion operates, how it works, and how it's manifesting and ushering in the culture of death that has so many of us scratching our heads and freaked out and going, what's going on? And so here's an example. We did an incredible Leave Our Kids Alone rally in Fontana in Southern California in January when we were out there for our big event with Pastor Jack Kibbs with Happening Now. We were at a church, Calvary Chapel Downey, for our White Rose Resistance Church tour. And we got 1,200 or 1,300 people out for a Leave Our Kids Alone rally. Why? Because even in the Inland Empire, and for y'all who listen from around the country and from around the world, that's like about 45 minutes to an hour east of Orange County or east of Irvine, if you will. And it's supposed to be a more conservative sort of, you know, area. But Planned Parenthood wants their tentacles into every area of society. And so they've been putting on Champions for Choice. That's what Planned Parenthood is calling it. Champions for Choice school board events for California school board members. Oh, Seth, why would they be doing that? They're just in the abortion business. No, they're not. That's why they want to put their kind of people on school boards all across America, particularly in the pro-abortion states that have codified abortion through point of birth into the state constitutions, because now they have more free reign and permission from the Democrats that run those states to get their content into the schools. And so in Fontana, there is a Planned Parenthood-funded school board member whose spouse is a Planned Parenthood-funded city council member who both attended a Champions for Choice event. So what do we know? We know that Planned Parenthood is trying to get their pornographic comprehensive sexuality education into more public schools and school districts in Southern California. And to top it all off, the school board in Fontana, supposed to be this conservative historic area of California, it has transgender policies in the school board for the public high schools in the area, with whistleblower parents and teachers saying, oh yeah, our school district, the high schools here, if a kid thinks they're trans and they're the other gender, we hide it from the parents. In fact, we have a list here of the kid's real legal given name, only name. But if they think they're trans and they want to be called a different name, then we take note here of what to call them when they're at school to help trans them and encourage their sexual and gender delusions. But when we communicate with the parents on the phone, well, then we use their legal given name because we want to hide the fact that we're helping trans their children at the public high school. Well, so we started finding this stuff out. So we did an incredible massive rally called Leave Our Kids Alone. I spoke, my buddy and director of activism, AJ Hurley, spoke. We had Billboard Chris speak. If you guys see Billboard Chris, he wears those billboards and he just wears it on his neck and he walks around and the left hates him because he'll just say like, kids are not sexual beings, or there's only two genders, or kids can't consent to genital mutilation or whatever. We had other speakers and we mobilized and we had ballots, people to sign up to demand the kind of policies that we want in that area. It was incredible turnout. That is an example of what I'm talking about. Was that about killing babies? Was that about saying, well, we got a deal in the abortion lane, we shouldn't kill the babies? No. Were they killing children there? No. What were they doing? Sexualizing children to eventually sell them abortions. But Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion provider in the world, is also the largest provider in America of that pornographic comprehensive sexuality education, actually, that has all those moms and dads coming to school board meetings. I'm sure you've seen this. I'm sure you've seen this. It's like everywhere. Since like beginning of 2021. It's been almost this like organic grassroots Tea Party level movement of angry moms and dads, not even all Christians, just upset at the kind of content and curriculum being taught to their schools, to their kids in public schools. Planned Parenthood is behind that, guys. The history behind the culture of death, the kind of ideologies that could birth a culture that calls killing children and babies, reproductive health care and reproductive justice, is far darker and far more integrated into society than you could possibly believe. We actually largely don't understand how evil this culture is, and more importantly, how it was created. So how can you defeat an enemy that you don't understand, right? How can you destroy an enemy that you don't know exists? I talk to many parents at schools, at churches that I speak at, who've never even heard of Alfred Kinsey, the Kinsey Institute, or the Sexuality Information Education Council of the United States, known as SECIS, whose new name is SECIS, Sex Ed for Social Change, which was founded by Planned Parenthood's medical director in 1964 with seed money from Hugh Hefner. And that becomes the number one group at the helm of creating all of the pornographic sex ed that has become so normalized in America's public schools. That's another example of how integrated all this stuff is. And I believe God has called me and my team at the White Rose Resistance to pull the veil off of the secular moral revolution to show that this Leviathan, so many of its tentacles trace back to the same beast. You can't just chop off the abortion tentacle and they'll be like, woo! Like, praise God, some babies will be saved by doing that. But there is actually there are darker forces of evil that animate and then interconnect the various aspects of our culture of death. So Francis Schaeffer, one of the kind of, you can almost call him the intellectual godfather of the pro-life movement, actually. His wonderful book, Christian Manifesto. Many people believe Francis Schaeffer, like, is one of the actually stimulants behind the beginning of the pro-life movement in the early 70s. Francis Schaeffer once said that in the church, we tend to deal in bits and pieces with worldviews, if you will, and ideologies, instead of seeing how it all goes together. We have to be able to go up 60,000 feet, 100,000 feet to understand the whole picture, but that requires thoughtfulness, doesn't it? That requires time. That requires deep thinking, reading, research. I feel I've been called to that, and I have committed myself to that, to then bring it to you on a silver platter in a digestible way that's easy to understand. That's what we're doing with my film, The 1916 Project, which we're going to be sharing more about on this podcast very soon. It's not The 1619 Project, y'all, from Nicole Hannah-Jones in The New York Times that allegedly explains our bigoted, systemically racist culture. It's actually 1916 that explains our currently bigoted, systemically racist, wicked, evil society that was created by the architects of the culture of death, by the revolutionaries in the liberal establishment, by the fathers and mothers of the radical hippie movement and the radical yippie movement. We're blowing the top. We're unveiling the hidden history of the secular moral revolution with our film coming out this summer, The 1916 Project, which we want you guys involved with. We want to tell you more about it. We have more coming soon. We'll be having the trailer on this podcast very soon as well. In fact, you can listen to part of it with my conversation with Pastor Jack Hibbs recently at Happening Now from January 10th at that church in Southern California. While we were there, if you listen to that episode, there's one more vignette I want to point out to communicate why this rebrand and relaunch of now the Seth Gruber Show is so important. This is probably one of the most educated, informed congregations actually in Southern, and probably in America. Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, my earthly hero, Pastor Jack Hibbs. They've been doing the contend in the public square for righteousness way before like Turning Point USA Faith, way before even so many of the ministries in America that exist to mobilize the church to do that, were doing that. Pastor Jack Hibbs has been going to city council meetings and school board meetings back like right after he launched Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. He's been doing this for decades, and he brings in speakers. He brings in historians. They put on public events. It's probably one of the more informed congregations in Protestant churches in America, I feel like that's my home church. So this is why I'm communicating to you how duped we have been in the church and in the American culture. I was talking about Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood and her role in the American Eugenics Society, the eugenics movement, and basically the reason why Planned Parenthood, initially called the American Birth Control League, was launched was actually for eugenics purposes. That was the whole freaking point. And I brought up the Supreme Court decision, Buck versus Bell. Buck versus Bell. I didn't curse. Okay, just don't mishear me here with a B, okay? Buck versus Bell. It was a 1927 Supreme Court decision that upheld Virginia's, I think, 1924 mandated sterilization of those considered to be a threat to the gene pool, those who are quote unquote unfit, right? The people that the libs don't think should be allowed to have children, actually. It was Hillary Clinton's version of the deplorables and irredeemables, right? Those who are quote unquote a problem or nuisance to society, and they're preventing us from the survival of the fittest and from the Übermensch, the master race, right? The Nazis would talk about the Untermensch, subhuman. The inverse of that is Übermensch, the master race. We want more of those kinds of people. Of course, who gets to define the qualities that make you fit or unfit? The libs, right? There's no overarching, you know, Christian religious framework to make sense of where human rights and value comes from anymore. It's just whatever the elite and the state determine you must have or be able to evidence to have value. Anyways, I was talking about Sanger's role in the American Eugenics Society, and I pointed out that she celebrated the Buck versus Bell decision when it was decided by the Supreme Court that upheld Virginia's law in 1927. And the Supreme Court justice at the time who authored the decision, Oliver Wendell Holmes, a political progressive and eugenicist, summed up the quote-unquote science of his day when he said, three generations of imbeciles are enough. This was an 8-1 decision, okay? Like nearly every university, scientific institution, the Museum of Natural History supported and funded eugenics. Within 10 or 15 years of Buck versus Bell, which remember allowed the state to forcibly sterilize those considered a threat to the gene pool, our country forcibly sterilized over 70,000 people between California and New York. Over 70,000 people. Like, you understand what I'm saying? Like, snip, snip, or tie your tubes. Like, you don't get to have kids because you're bad stock, right? To quote Margaret Sanger, the morons and misfits, right? The unfit. I asked this, my favorite church, one of the most informed, educated congregations in America, in an audience of over 2,000 people. Okay? An audience of over 2,000 people live. I said, how many of you have heard of Buck versus Bell? By raise of hands. I saw 4 hands in one of the most informed, educated congregations in America. Margaret Sanger celebrated that decision. It's what she wanted. It's one of the most heinous Supreme Court decisions in American history, right up there with Dred Scott and Roe versus Wade. In fact, the Nazis cited our Supreme Court decision, Buck versus Bell, in their defense at the Nuremberg trials. Right. The Nazis, guys, they were saying, who the hell are you to judge us? You had Buck versus Bell. You were doing the same thing. You were sterilizing people considered to be unfit. You know? That's gnarly. That's a crazy story. That's crazy history. I could prove all of that. And we don't know this. We don't understand how interconnected this culture of death has been in the church. So this is why we are welcoming you today to the Seth Gruber Show. We have rebranded from Unaborted to the Seth Gruber with this beautiful studio that we've been blessed to build to have a bigger digital impact and reach to communicate these truths, to communicate the evil, perverted history of how we got here that has been hidden from you. Like I have a report looking at the 9 most commonly used high school history textbooks in America. All 9 of them basically exclude any coverage of Buck versus Bell, Margaret Sanger, the American Eugenics Society, and her role in like the Eugenics Society and how American laws inspired Hitler and the Nazis. Like all of that is basically missing in the 9 most commonly used history high school textbooks. Why? Because they have to hide it because it's their history. The libs, the liberal establishment, the Democrat Party, the secular moral revolutionaries, they walk in the same intellectual tradition as those people that they can no longer justify being a part of. But they believe the same things. They're operating off of the same ideologies and principles and assumptions. But they have to hide it from you lest you realize the kind of individuals that have created this culture of death and you stop voting for them. So they have to hide it from you. Okay? That's why we're launching the Seth Gruber Show. The reason is because abortion is not detached from the broader secular moral revolution. It's one of the linchpins upon which the liberal establishment swings. So if we're going to talk about, well, we want to stop killing babies. Well, then you have to grasp and understand the ideologies that made abortion viable or feasible in the first place. And have you noticed how on the left, they walk in lockstep anytime any of their core pagan sacraments is compromised or endangered? It's like they go and they just align. It's almost as if on command. And now I'm not saying that there's like some weird like cabal of like millionaires and billionaires running a sex ring at the highest levels of government, or am I? I don't know. I'm not saying that like there's a commander communicating exactly what the underlings and activists in the leftist revolution must do, but it's as they operate as if on command. And any time the sexualizing of children, the state pretending they're a parent to your kids, transing kids. Anytime any of these things is compromised, it's like they set aside any of their other like peripheral political disagreements and they walk in lockstep and they unite. It's like it's almost as if they have a worldview or like a religion or an ideology that is their lenses through which they see the world and through which they interpret events and therefore how they understand what they should do and how they should live in a culture of death. Do we believe Christianity and our faith is big enough to deal not in bits and pieces, but with the entire thing, the entire culture, the entire false religion, the entire assumptions that drive this culture of death? I believe so, but we tend to bicker and moan and fight and whine in the American church as to whether our faith and whether the Bible, does it speak clearly enough? Like, does it speak directly enough to these various issues we see happening in the culture that would allow us to condemn it, right? To condemn it writ large and provide clarity on how we should think about these issues? And this is why you see Christians be like, oh, yeah, I support socialism, democratic socialism, abortions in some cases. David French says Drag Queen Story Hour is a blessing of liberty, but he's a conservative Christian. You can trust him. We don't operate as cohesively and with as much unity as the left does. Why? Why is their pagan religion of leftism broad enough to create unity in how they engage the culture, but ours isn't? What the heck? Of course it is. It's because we have a American church, pastorate, and quote-unquote evangelical influencers who are cowards. And that's why at the Seth Gruber Show, we're going to expand the net of the kind of topics we talk about, explaining how this culture was created to give you your marching orders on what to do. We're going to talk about the heroes of the past, those whose stories we've forgotten. Why? Because they dealt with the same issues. They dealt with the same false religion, the same ideologies, the same philosophical assumptions, the same dangerous ideas. And they were able to engage with those ideas, with those crazy cultures, in a far more effective and godly way than apparently we in the American church can do. So welcome to the Seth Gruber Show, where we're going to dive deeper, go harder, and be less apologetic than I've ever been before. And that's a heck of a statement, but that's what we're doing at the Seth Gruber Show. We'd like to thank our sponsor of the Seth Gruber Show, Every Life Diapers. Every Life Diapers. Guys, come on, send this to your pregnancy resource centers that you support locally. Okay, send like your church. Can you go to the person who runs the nursery at your church and give them promo code Seth10, everylife.com? Why? Because every major baby brand in America rhetorically or financially supports the abortion industry. So the companies that profit more off of baby products if more babies are born, all 8 of the major brands rhetorically or financially support the killing of babies in the womb, so they make less money because they're helping kill more babies. What? Doesn't make any sense. Yeah, welcome to the woke mind virus. Welcome to the culture of death. You need to fight back with your dollars. Go to everylife.com, everylife.com. If you're having kids, if your son or daughter is having kids, if your sister or brother is having kids, if your church has a nursery or a pregnancy resource center in your city, go to everylife.com, promo code Seth10 to get 10% off your first order and to know that we sent you. Promo code Seth10, everylife.com. We need to support the only pro-life diaper company in America. Hilaire Belloc, G.K. Chesterton's best friend, said this beautiful quote that's become one of my new favorite quotes, and you may have been hearing me say it recently. He said, to comprehend the history of a thing is to unlock the mysteries of its present, and more, to discover the profundities of its future. Do you get that? So if you comprehend the history of something, of a thing, you comprehend the history of a thing, you unlock the mysteries of its present, of its now, what's happening now. But also more, you discover the profundities of its future, meaning where it's going. So to quote my mentor, Dr. George Grant, we don't study history to know what happened then. We study history to understand what's happening now and where this all goes, how this all turns out, if nothing changes, if we continue to allow the same bad ideas to continue their crash course over American lives, children, family, and culture. That's why we study history. So this show is going to kind of turn into a little bit of a history lesson. It's going to turn into a call to arms. It's going to turn into an apologetic show. But we're always going to come back to awakening the church, tearing down the high places of child sacrifice, giving God a reason to show America mercy. But we're going to be mobilizing, creating you as the listeners to be some of the most effective communicators and fired up believers in the culture war, graciously and truthfully and unapologetically engaging this culture of death because you understand it. This is why the Bible talks about the sons of Issachar. It says they were men who understood the times. And so they knew. And so they knew what Israel ought to do. You see, with an understanding of the times that you live in comes a responsibility to act. Well, once you understand, you have no more excuses. You can't justify your apathy, your silence, and your abdication any longer. So really, the Seth Gruber Show exists to create the next generation of the sons and daughters of Issachar. Because the number one response, and I'm not kidding, the number one response, bar none, nothing else touches how often I'm told this at events over the last 18 months. Seth, I've never heard any of that before. I never heard any of what you had to say before. Shocking. Even people who have heard some of it, and they come up to me and they say, I thought I knew a lot about the culture of death, how we got here, some of what you talked about, but half of what you said I never heard before. And this is coming from the informed people. That's what I mean. We are not the kind of sons and daughters of Issachar that the Lord would call his people to be. Those who understand the times, but guess what? That takes time. And so we're going to be releasing episodes back on this show every Tuesday and Thursday, every Tuesday and Thursday. And hey, maybe we'll move to more. But for now, every Tuesday and Thursday, we want you tuning in. We're going to have more guests, more interesting kind of guests, and a lot more better, deeper, more robust episodes with yours truly at the Seth Gruber Show to understand how we got here and maybe chart a course on how to get out of this ridiculous experiment. So, welcome to the Seth Gruber Show. Give us a rating and review. Go to iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, Rumble for if and when I get canceled by YouTube, please. And now we want to turn to one story before we end the show today, but we wanted to really unpack kind of why we're doing the Seth Gruber Show and how you can help support us. But we do have to, we absolutely have to cover the story. This is wicked. This is unbelievable. I've talked about this before. I've talked about the politicization of the FBI and of many of our federal institutions against their political opponents. I don't need to give you a ton of examples that prove this point. If you listen to the show, you probably know what's happening and how it's been happening and why for some time. I mean, 2020 is, I mean, it's the best examples. It's like, you know, if you went down to an anti-lockdown rally, you were called a domestic terrorist who was murdering granny. But if you walked in the streets of LA half naked and you screamed systemic racism and you burned down privately owned businesses, some of them owned by Black people, then Anthony Fauci said, thank you for this because systemic racism is a public health issue. It's a public health crisis. And so that's why it's okay to scream the spittle and the saliva coming off your mouth. And that's fine if it's for George Floyd. But if you do it in a church or outside because you want to visit your granny and you're not being allowed to because she's at a hospital and she might die alone, then you're a granny killer and a domestic terrorist. We could go through 15 other examples, right? Of exactly how our federal institutions and this administration have it out for conservatives, pro-life individuals, and Christians who are actually bold and engaged in this culture of death. But we've been talking about how pro-life sidewalk counselors or pro-life rescuers, I'm talking about the people who might trespass into an abortion center, but they're like peacefully walking in to give a mom a red rose and just say, hey, we're here for you. We love your baby. We want to help you choose life. That's it. Like, I guess if they're asked to leave and they sit down in the chair next to the mom while she's waiting to have her child ripped out of her uterus and they say, please choose life. Please choose life. We're here for you. We love you. Technically, that's trespassing, whatever. You know, it might be illegal, but it's highly moral. It's highly moral. You hear me? It's highly moral to try to save a child by trespassing in an abortion center and peacefully sitting next to a mom and asking her to choose life, even though it might be illegal. We've been talking about some of these people who are now facing up to a decade in prison because they did that. Or maybe they were singing hymns or songs right outside the door of an abortion center and maybe like blocking it and making it hard to get in. And so they're domestic terrorists or whatever the libs are calling them. So new story. Six pro-life rescuers who engaged in civil disobedience a couple years ago are now facing up to a decade in prison for praying outside of an abortion center and singing hymns in Tennessee. Man, gosh, someone should have just told him just to graffiti and vandalize the abortion center half naked. And then nothing would have happened. Man, if they had just put a rainbow flag on, like behind their ear, or like, you know, maybe in their belt, or like covering their nipple or something. Man, if they were just half naked in front of children, it would have been fine. Right? You understand this. You can go jiggle your appendages around children at Greenwich Village Park, two blocks from where Margaret Sanger lived. And it's fine. The police look on and do nothing because it's Pride Month. But if you try to save babies in civil disobedience very peacefully, you're facing up to a decade in prison. Are you starting to see here what's happening? Do you know what time it is? So according to LifeSite News, as of January 30th, six pro-life advocates were convicted of federal felonies for violating the freedom of access to clinic entrances. It's called the FACE Act, okay? And this was a 2021 peaceful protest that they did at an abortion facility just outside of Nashville, Tennessee. By the way, that clinic has now been forced to stop providing abortions because abortion is pretty much illegal in Tennessee. A jury said they are guilty. The six pro-lifers who participated in a March 2021 rescue at the Carafim Health Center Clinic in Mount Joliet, Tennessee, outside of Nashville. The verdict is coming down now, despite the fact that a year and a half later, that same facility was forced to stop committing abortions to comply with Tennessee's pro-life legislation. Here are the names of these six pro-life heroes who were trying to save babies, okay? Chester Gallagher, Heather Idoni, and Calvin Zastro, Coleman Boyd, Dennis Green, and Paul Vaughn. Paul Vaughn, actually, he was arrested at gunpoint when the FBI visited his home and dragged him away in front of his 11 children. So these six pro-life sidewalk advocates are facing up to a decade in prison. I believe their hearing and conviction will be decided in July. And this is all based off of this FACE Act, the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances, which forbids, quote, violent, threatening, damaging, and obstructive conduct intended to injure, intimidate, or interfere with the right to seek, obtain, or provide reproductive health services. Pretty broad. Guess what's funny about the FACE Act? It applies to pro-lifers, too. Do you hear that? The FACE Act applies to pro-lifers and pregnancy centers as well. So according to the law, a CEO or director of a pregnancy resource center who's being vandalized or targeted by pro-choice activists can also file suit, according to the FACE Act, by saying that pro-choicers are participating in violent, threatening, damaging, or obstructive conduct intended to injure, intimidate, or interfere with the right to seek, obtain, or provide reproductive health services. So, I mean, the FACE Act is ridiculous because they've used it as a way to target pro-lifers who are like standing on the sidewalk, right? They're not even on the property. And they've tried to go after people just for like legal, peaceful sidewalk counseling. Sometimes they use it in this case when someone was actually trespassing or actually blocking the door to an abortion center. But they've tried to use the FACE Act to go after pro-lifers who weren't blocking the entrance whatsoever. They were peacefully praying or offering counseling on the sidewalks outside of an abortion center. So the whole thing has been used totally politicized to attack pro-lifers. But my point is it technically applies to protect pro-lifers and their clinics as well. So let's get into it. Does the federal government and the pro-abortion Democrats of this administration that were appointed by Obama's henchmen, sorry, Freudian slip, Biden's, so it's almost like it's the same thing. It's almost like it's Obama's third term. Do they apply this consistently when it comes to pro-abortion activists? Who are participating in violent, threatening, damaging, and obstructive conduct intended to injure, intimidate, or interfere with the right to seek, obtain, or provide reproductive health services? I think you know the answer. So we know from multiple stories and incidents that pro-abortion activists can vandalize, spray paint, and intimidate pro-life pregnancy centers and their staff and volunteers and get zero jail time. Zero jail time. Let me take you back to June 2022. Right before and right after Roe v. Wade got overturned, a lot of this was happening. You guys remember Jane's Revenge? Remember, because like Roe versus Wade, she was called Jane Doe. And so Jane becomes this like representative name of the pro-choice liberal woman. And so they called this group Jane's Revenge. And they announced right before Roe got overturned, because I think they sensed it might get overturned, that they wanted people to express their rage in the streets. They planned this night of rage, and they said, a night of rage. So they said, if Roe gets overturned, we want you to express your rage in the streets. You can go find coverage of stories about this. Jane's Revenge. And they took ownership and responsibility, saying that some of the vandalizing and attacks they were doing, they actually took credit for it. They said, yeah, that's us. Woo! How much do you think the FBI looked into Jane's Revenge and the participants and leaders behind that organization? So in June 2022, a New York pro-life pregnancy center was seriously damaged in arson attacks. They set fire and was subsequently vandalized again with pro-abortion graffiti in March of 2023 and has filed a federal lawsuit against some of the, quote, known pro-abortion activists in New York. The two unnamed defendants are included in the October 5th lawsuit and referred to as Jane Doe 1 and Jane Doe 2 because the authorities can't identify the suspects. They're not really spending a lot of time trying to figure out who it is. Jim Harden, the CEO of this pregnancy center in New York called Compass Care Pregnancy Services, here's what he said. He said, "It is ridiculous that as pro-life citizens, we are forced to do the job of both the FBI and DOJ." He said, "The FBI refused to investigate." Did you hear that? The CEO of the pregnancy center, who had to deal with arson attacks and vandalizing, said the FBI refused to investigate, so we hired private investigators. The DOJ refuses to indict, so we brought face charges. Remember, freedom of access to clinic entrances. So the CEO of a pregnancy resource center is using face to defend himself from pro-abortion activists. Why is the FBI and DOJ not interested in mobilizing to do this? Oh my gosh. But my friend Siaka put two toes inside the Capitol on January 6th, two toes, as he was invited by federal Capitol security to do so. And he just took a quick little video and he stepped out and he was arrested next to his pregnant wife when he landed after an airplane trip. Oh my gosh. This is totally accidental and coincidental. No, it's not. This is the intentional targeting of political opponents. So one of the defendants, the people attacking this New York pregnancy center, her name's Hannah Kamke, who she was arrested in March of 2022 or 2023 and charged with a felony for spray painting the word liars in red capital letters across the pregnancy center sign. She was caught on video vandalizing the sign, so she entered a plea agreement and agreed to pay $2,580 in restitution. That's it. So she actually vandalized and stole the property of a pregnancy resource center, and she gets to pay $2,500. Straight up vandalizing, straight up attacking. But if you sing hymns outside of an abortion center peacefully, domestic terrorist, 10 years in prison. Do you understand? First they came for the unborn. Have you noticed that those who believe the unborn child is not a person and can be killed through all 9 months of pregnancy for any reason or no reason at all tend to not stop at the unborn? Have you noticed that? Then what? Then they came for children who were trans to take them from their parents. Remember legislation like that in California and Washington? Then they came for the parents who won't affirm the gender delusion, right? Do you remember Harrison Tinsley we had on this show? Who only gets to see his kid half the time? There's other fathers around this country who have lost all parental rights and to see their kids. Like, they can't even have a relationship with their kid. Why? Because the other spouse, usually the mom, is transing the kid. So then they came for the parents who refused to entertain their child's gender delusion. Then what? Then they came for granny who was in Alzheimer's. And so we just killed her because she was unfit and unwanted. It never stops at the unborn. Those who murder the unborn cannot be trusted to govern the born. And those who murder the unborn will one day murder you too. The longer you tolerate the religion of humanism and its impact in our polity today. So that's fine. Vandalize and attack a pregnancy center, pay $2,500. Peacefully pray outside of an abortion center and maybe kind of blocking the entrance to the door a little bit. 10 years in prison. That was June of 2022, the same month Roe v. Wade got overturned. Let's fast forward to January of 2023. January of 2023. So this is what, the beginning of 2024? So about a year ago, on January 11th, 2023, over 200 House Democrats voted against condemning the slew of attacks on pro-life pregnancy centers. Let me say that again. Republicans tried to pass a resolution condemning the attacks on pregnancy resource centers and churches by pro-abortion activists. Over 200, listen to this, okay, from the Party of Peace. Over 200 House Democrats voted against against a resolution condemning the attacks against pro-lifers. It was called Resolution 3. It passed 222 to 208. Only three Democrats supported it. Only three Democrats. As of last January of 2023, at least 78 pro-life groups and 108 churches had been attacked. So this was a year ago. This, I'm sure this has gone up. As of a year ago, 78 pro-life groups and 108 churches have been attacked. Vandals have often tagged these buildings with threats saying, if abortions aren't safe, then you aren't either. Then you aren't either. A direct admission that the reason they're doing it is because these are pro-life people. If abortions aren't safe, meaning if you're passing pro-life laws, then we're going to come for you. You're not safe. You're not safe. That's a direct threat, an open admission of what they're doing. But that's fine because they're pro-abortion, because they're part of the liberal establishment. As of this coverage and this story, January 2023, authorities had not arrested anyone in connection with these indictments. People like AOC have refused to condemn or even acknowledge the attacks. So who is behind this? Who is behind the prosecution of peaceful pro-lifers possibly engaging in civil disobedience that has led to six of them? And there's more, by the way, that are in prison right now and maybe looking at more time. But six, as of this story, who are looking up to a decade in prison because of this Tennessee peaceful civil disobedience prayer rally. Who is behind the prosecutions of peaceful pro-lifers? According to Daily Signal, it's Kristen Clark. Kristen Clark is Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights at the DOJ, and she has been a vocal pro-abortion advocate and opponent of pro-lifers for her entire career. She expressed her support for preserving Roe versus Wade. She oversees investigations into what? The violations of the FACE Act, the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances. Kristen Clark is the one behind weaponizing the FACE Act as a way to target pro-lifers, and she's used that to charge 26 pro-life individuals just in 2023. It appears that John Dukas, the former acting assistant attorney general for civil rights in the Trump administration, said it appears she's violating her oath of office and she's violating her duty, which is to fairly administer the law regardless of political views. She appears only to be prosecuting groups that she doesn't like and doesn't agree with. So this woman, Kristen Clark, who as of today, as of you listening to this recording, okay, is the Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights at the DOJ and the one responsible for overseeing the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances cases, which is what's being utilized to throw these six pro-lifers in jail for a decade. What is she, who is this woman? She has called the Alliance Defending Freedom a hate group. She's called Liberty University a fundamentalist Christian school. She said that those who protested Dr. Anthony Fauci should be, quote, publicly identified and named, barred from treatment at any public hospital if and when they fall ill, and denied coverage under their insurance. Did you just hear that? What did I just tell you about how the left operates, about why we're rebranding, recasting the net here at the Seth Gruber Show? Because it all goes together. This pro-abortion hack who's using the FACE Act to attack pro-lifers. What does she just stay in the abortion lane? Is that why she got involved in politics? Just for the pro-life, for the pro-abortion stuff? No. She said if you disagreed with Anthony Fauci, okay, and you publicly criticized him, you should be denied treatment at a hospital. What kind of demon is this? She hurled insults at Republican politicians all the time. But again, you understand this is not an elected official. This is not an elected official. This is an appointed official. So we can't even vote her out. So when she says her political views and how much she hates her political opponents, like that's in admission that that's going to affect how she implements the duties of her job description. Well, let's see what else here. She said, oh yeah, she said Amy Coney Barrett, which I'm not a big fan of right now because apparently she voted to say it's like bad and racist to have barbed wire to protect our borders. But anyways, and to stop the traffickers, by the way, from trafficking children into America. She said that Amy Coney Barrett was unfit to serve as a justice because she would likely overturn Roe v. Wade, which she did, by the way. Unfit to serve because she's pro-life. Oh, wow. I'm sure we can totally trust this Kristen Clark to fairly and unbiasedly apply the law, right? She has frequently criticized pro-life courts, and she branded a law protecting Down syndrome babies as draconian. This is a little bit about Kristen Clark. Okay. Now, interestingly, once she became appointed as the Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights at the DOJ, she's coincidentally toned down her activist rhetoric, right? Since her nomination to the department, obviously, because we know what a hack she is. We know she can't be trusted. We know these kind of people don't remove their political views when it comes to applying their job description at the Department of Justice. This Kristen Clark, pro-abortion liberal hack, is the one attacking these sweet, amazing pro-life heroes. If only these six pro-life heroes in Tennessee had just jiggled their naked appendages for children. All of this would be fine if they could have just vandalized the abortion clinic half naked, wearing a George Floyd shirt. It would all be fine. Except it wouldn't, because they were attacking an abortion center and not a pro-life one. Are you starting to see? We could go another hour with these contradictions, but we don't have time. that is where the culture is going. You need to pray for these people. You need to help give to their legal fees if you can. Because guess what? First, they came for the unborn. Then they came for the pro-life sidewalk counselors. Then they came for the parents who oppose the gender delusion of their children. Right? And I didn't speak up. Eventually, they actually will come for you. Unless you bow the knee, unless you bow down to the rainbow religion, to the sex cult of liberalism, unless you renounce Christ and you join the pagans reinventing American society before our very eyes. Otherwise, it actually will eventually come to your door. I hope you understand that. Like Hillary Clinton just went viral a couple months ago for saying we need to deprogram MAGA Republicans, which, remember, she defines a MAGA Republican as someone who didn't even like Donald Trump and bit their tongue until it bled, but still voted for him at the ballot box because the option was her. It was Hillary Clinton. That still makes you a MAGA Republican. I hope you understand that in how this administration defines that. So anyone that voted for Trump basically because they're pro-life or opposes the killing of children. Like, we need to deprogram them. She said that and she went, ha 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 ha, right? With her almost Kamala Harris, like, just laugh. She's not joking. They're not joking. Re-education camp gulags is a thing. Dr. Jordan Peterson is facing it right now in Canada. You understand that? They're saying the psychiatric association of whatever that he's in, they could pull his license and send him to re-education is what they're doing. They're saying he needs to be re-educated. He needs to be Hillary Clinton deprogrammed because of his views. Remember, Canada, America's evil top hat, is only about 10 years ahead of us. Maybe 12, 15, maybe 8. They're not that far ahead of us. How quickly has all this stuff escalated? And the question for you is, when do you think it'll stop? And what if I told you that most of the evil unfolding in our society right now can be traced back to our initial tolerance of child killing? Because if we can't get that right, we won't get any other rights right. Thank you guys for tuning in. We have new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday here at the Seth Gruber Show. Give us a rating and review. It really helps us reach more people. It really makes the show show up for more people who are just scrolling through iTunes podcasts or through Spotify. Give us 5 stars. Leave us a review. Go subscribe at YouTube and Rumble for when YouTube eventually cancels me. We're so blessed to have this growing platform, to have you as our listeners. If you want to get engaged with Christian resistance and join the White Rose Resistance, the fastest growing pro-life organization in America, go to www.thewhiterose.life, thewhiterose.life, and sign up as a $35 a month ally. You get a resistance box sent to you in the mail to welcome you to the resistance. You join our digital community. You get sent an invitation. It's a private digital community. We have a pro-life course on there with yours truly, with courses and quizzes and curriculum. We have a pro-life masterclass coming out soon with people like Jack Hibbs and Kirk Cameron and John Amanchukwu and Melissa Odin and Anthony Leventino, the former abortionist. That's coming out soon. We have a roundtable coming out soon. And we have the 1916 Project coming out soon, which all of our allies and donors get to see a pre-screening of before anyone else. Go to thewhiterose.life. And if you want to join our book club and help us raise up the next generation of the sons and daughters of Issachar, then sign up for our air support, $70 a month at thewhiterose.life. And we read a book together once a month and we talk about it live on Zoom once a month. You talk to me, we get to hang out. Come on, it'll be fun. $70 a month or $35 a month. Join the resistance. Until next week, I'm Seth Gruber and this is The Seth Gruber Show.